This is Lucidism Unfiltered, the podcast where we cut through the noise and reclaim your mental freedom. No rules, no limits, just raw, unapologetic truth about life, wealth, love, and living without boundaries. Are you ready to challenge everything you thought you knew? Then you're in the right place. Hit subscribe now so you don't miss out on the conversations that are rewriting the future. And hey, if you're feeling it, leave a review and let us know how you're living free. Today, we are discussing a groundbreaking new book called Get Rich the New Way, which offers 20 steps to wealth and abundance in the new era. It is written by the Danish author Leonhard Lapinel, and it will really expand your view of wealth and how the old way of becoming wealthy and abundant is fading away. Enjoy the show.
Okay, so we've got a fascinating topic today. You guys sent in tons of sources about wealth.
Yeah.
But not just like, you know, monies. This is about a bigger shift, something called the Aquarian Age.
Right.
Have you heard about that at all?
I have, yeah. It's kind of a buzzword these days, but I think it represents a really big shift in how we think about abundance. It pushes us to look beyond just, you know, the material things and think about what really creates a rich and fulfilling life.
So, like, instead of chasing after all those dollar signs, it's more about going inward and cultivating things like freedom, health, meaningful connections, like all the things that you can't really buy but are ultimately more important.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And this book, the one we're diving into today, Get Rich the New Way, really emphasizes that point. It even says that the old ways of building wealth are becoming obsolete, like quickly.
Wow, that's a big statement to make. So what's making the author think that those old systems are failing?
Well, I mean, just look around, right?
Yeah.
We're living in a time of just crazy technological advancement, economic stuff happening, societal changes, and the things that used to, you know, guarantee security, like a steady job, the stock market. I mean, those things just aren't that reliable anymore.
Yeah.
People are burning out.
Yeah.
They're feeling disillusioned. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize that maybe, just maybe, there's a better way.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, while some people might think this is just a bunch of new age stuff, I think a lot of people are sensing that intuitively. Like, there's got to be something different.
Right.
And maybe this whole Aquarian Age way of thinking, maybe that's how we navigate all the craziness.
And the book actually says that we should embrace chaos as an ally.
Yeah.
It even uses examples like, you remember 2008, the financial crisis?
Oh, yeah.
And even the COVID pandemic to show that, yeah, disruptions are difficult, but they can create huge opportunities if you're willing to adapt.
You know, honestly, big disruptions like that kind of make me nervous. But you're right. Those events, they forced a lot of innovation. I mean, the gig economy, that blew up after 2008. And so many businesses, they had to go digital during COVID, like out of necessity.
Right.
And I think if people hadn't adapted, who knows where we would be.
Exactly. It's like the book uses this analogy of riding a wild river. You can fight the current and get totally exhausted, or you can learn to navigate it, use that energy of the rapids to move forward.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something for everyone listening to think about. Have there been times of chaos in your own life that have led to some unexpected opportunities? Maybe, you know, losing a job ended up with you having a more fulfilling career, or a tough breakup forced you to focus on yourself.
Right. Yeah.
It's all about perspective.
Absolutely. It's all about how you look at it.
Yeah.
Seeing the potential in something that might seem negative at first.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about how the old ways of building wealth might be on their way out and how this whole chaos thing, it can actually be a good thing. But what does this new wealth even look like? You know, I'm kind of intrigued by the book's two doors metaphor.
Yeah. The two doors.
Yeah.
Such a good way to think about the different dimensions of wealth. So door number one, that's like the traditional stuff, the money, the house, the car. But door number two, that's where it gets interesting.
Correct.
That leads to a garden.
Okay, a garden. I'm listening. What's growing in this garden?
Well, this garden, it's not filled with material things.
Okay.
It's got things like love, creativity, health, freedom, and meaningful connection.
Oh, okay.
It's all the stuff that really nourishes us. It creates that sense of deep fulfillment.
So it's not about rejecting money completely, but it's about realizing that money is just one piece.
Exactly.
Of a much bigger picture.
Yeah. And it reminds me of the story of Thomas in the book. He's this really successful executive.
Okay.
Has everything money can buy, but he feels empty.
Oh, wow.
He had door number one wide open, but his door number two garden was totally neglected.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us can relate to that, at least a little bit. I mean, we work so hard to achieve that financial success.
Right.
But sometimes we forget about those other parts of our lives.
Yeah.
Which are just as, if not more, important. I mean, it really makes you think, what would your door number two garden look like? Yeah. What would you want to cultivate there?
Yeah. It's a good question to ask yourself.
Yeah.
Because true wealth, it goes way beyond just what's in your bank account. It's about the richness you create in all areas of your life.
I love that. Okay. So now for the part that kind of makes my head spin a little bit.
Okay.
The book claims that our consciousness actually shapes our financial reality. It even talks about quantum physics and stuff.
Yeah.
So is this where we all become like master manifestors?
No, not quite. Let's not get too lost in the quantum weeds here. I mean, the connections to quantum physics are interesting, but I think the takeaway here is simpler than that. It's about realizing that your mindset acts like a filter for what you experience. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're going to manifest millions just by thinking about it.
Okay. It's more about realizing that your beliefs about money, you know, whether you're aware of them or not, can either help you or hold you back.
So if you're constantly like worried about lack, that's what you're going to see and experience, even if there are opportunities right in front of you.
Exactly. It's like the book uses this analogy of a flashlight in a dark room. Your beliefs about money are like the beam of that flashlight. They only illuminate what you choose to focus on.
Right.
So if you're always focused on your debt and you're feeling scarce, you're going to see more of that.
Right.
But if you shift your focus towards like abundance and gratitude, you're going to start to see different things.
I see.
And you attract different experiences.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love the story about Carla in the book. She shifted her mindset from like scarcity to gratitude, and her finances totally changed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like she won the lottery or anything. It was just about seeing those opportunities that were already there and then like taking action. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it really highlights this idea that what you believe about money really matters.
Yeah.
So it's a good question to ask yourself, what beliefs are you carrying around? Are they helping you or are they holding you back?
Yeah, that's deep.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, another thing that really resonated with me was this idea of using your intuition as a tool for wealth.
Oh, interesting.
Because sometimes logic just doesn't cut it, you know?
Right.
Like, there have been times I've made decisions based on just, like, gut feeling, even when it didn't make sense logically.
Yeah.
And it worked out better than I could have imagined.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Intuition is often dismissed, especially when it comes to money.
Yeah.
It's all about the data, logic, all that.
Yeah.
But a lot of really successful people, entrepreneurs, investors, they all say that they rely on their gut.
That's true.
A lot.
The book even mentions people like Steve Jobs, Oprah, Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah?
Like trusting their intuition even when it went against what everyone else was saying.
They had that vision and they went for it even when people doubted them.
You know, it's like when you're choosing a hiking path.
Okay.
Do you stick to the well-worn trail or do you go off on that path that's calling you?
Right, right.
Sometimes the best experiences come from trusting that inner pull.
Totally.
Yeah.
Have you ever had like a hunch about an investment or a business idea?
Oh, yeah.
That turned out to be right, even if you couldn't explain why at the time?
Totally.
That's your intuition.
Yeah.
It's a powerful tool.
It's like we're not just talking about spreadsheets and financial plans here.
Right.
We're talking about being more aware.
Yes.
Of ourselves and those little nudges that we get.
Your inner voice.
Yeah, that can guide us.
Yeah, it's about a more holistic approach to wealth, realizing that it's an inner journey too, not just an outer pursuit.
Oh, I like that. Okay, so we've explored the old ways of doing things, the limitations of that.
Yeah.
And we've started to get into this new paradigm.
Right.
I think I'm ready to dive a little deeper. The book talks about upgrading our mental software from like scarcity 1.0 to abundance 2.0.
Love that.
I love that visual. Tell me more.
Yeah, so imagine your beliefs about money. They're like the operating system running in your mind, right? So scarcity 1.0, that's like the default program for most people. It runs on fear, limits, that feeling of not having enough.
It's like being on a hamster wheel.
Yes.
You're working so hard, but you never really get ahead.
And you're always chasing the next dollar, never feeling secure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that.
The book, it uses this metaphor of a bathtub with a missing plug.
Uh-huh.
So with scarcity 1.0, no matter how much money you pour in, it just keeps draining away.
Oh, wow.
You're always worried about losing what you have,
yeah.
Never truly feeling abundant.
Right.
But abundance 2.0, that's about plugging those leaks and creating a system where wealth can build up
okay.
and flow freely.
So how do we do that? How do we upgrade?
Yeah, it's not as simple as clicking a download button, but the good news is we have the power to reprogram our thinking.
Okay.
The book talks about affirmations and visualizations, like coding techniques for Abundance 2.0.
Oh.
It's about consciously choosing new beliefs about money.
Got it.
And mentally rehearsing the reality you want to create.
So instead of focusing on what you don't have, you start focusing on what you do have and what you're grateful for.
Exactly. You shift your inner landscape to match the outer reality you want.
That's so powerful. So what would your Abundance 2.0 look like? What limiting beliefs would you rewrite?
That is a great question. It's a question we all need to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
Because the more you understand your current operating system, the better you can upgrade it.
Yeah, I like that. This is giving me a lot to think about. Okay, I want to move on to something that's really relevant to me personally. The book talks about energy management.
Oh, yeah.
Being the new time management. Why is that shift so important? Because I'm a total overscheduler. Wow. I'm always trying to squeeze in one more thing, and I end up burned out.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
You're not alone. Our whole culture glorifies the hustle. Always be productive, achieve more, more, more. We treat time as the most valuable resource.
Yeah.
But it's really our energy that fuels us.
It's like trying to run a marathon on an empty stomach, right?
Yeah.
You might have all the time in the world, but without the energy, you're not going to get anywhere.
Exactly. And that's where energy management comes in.
Okay.
It's like recharging your batteries.
Yeah.
As much as you discharge them. Recognizing your natural energy cycles, honoring your limits, making sure you get enough rest.
That's so true. I'm someone who tries to power through fatigue thinking I'm being productive, but I just end up making mistakes.
Right.
And feeling resentful.
Yeah.
And probably getting less done in the end.
You got to work smarter, not harder. Rest and rejuvenation are not indulgences. They're essential.
That's so important.
Yeah. So are you prioritizing rest or are you running yourself ragged?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm working on it. Trying to be more mindful, making sure I get enough sleep, learning to say no to things that drain my energy.
A process.
It's a process. It's not perfect, but I'm feeling better already.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay, let's dig into this idea of creating wealth by focusing on genuine value. The book calls it alchemy.
Ooh, alchemy.
Yeah. What's the magic formula?
I think the key is shifting your focus from how can I be successful to how can I provide value?
Oh, interesting.
It's not about taking wealth from others. It's about creating something that genuinely benefits them. Something that solves a problem, brings joy.
I really believe in that. It's about service, not just self-interest.
Absolutely. And the book tells this story about Maya.
Okay.
She's an artist who is struggling to make ends meet until she started painting pet portraits. She tapped into a genuine need. People love their pets.
Oh my God, yes.
And she was able to use her skills to create something beautiful and valuable.
I love that story. It shows you that wealth creation doesn't have to be complicated.
Right.
It can be about finding a way to use your talents to serve others.
It's like baking.
Yeah.
Your skills and passions are the ingredients, and you have to find the right recipe that people want.
Ooh, that's a good one. It's like, what are your unique ingredients? What problem can you solve? Or what joy can you bring? That's where it all begins.
Exactly. When you focus on providing genuine value, abundance just flows naturally.
Yeah, yeah. It's less about chasing money, more about creating something meaningful.
And that brings us to the concept of detachment as a path to wealth.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
How can detaching from money actually help you build wealth? Doesn't that, like, go against being financially responsible?
It's a common misconception.
Mm.
Detachment in this context is not about ignoring your finances or being reckless.
Okay.
It's about letting go of that desperate energy that can surround money.
Got it.
When you're chasing money from a place of fear or scarcity, you're creating resistance.
It's like what you resist persists.
Exactly. It's like the book uses the analogy of a gardener. You plant the seeds, you take care of them, but you don't obsess over the outcome.
Right.
You trust that the plants will grow in their own time.
So it's about surrendering control a little bit.
Yeah, allowing abundance to flow naturally. And a big part of that is cultivating a sense of enoughness. Gratitude for what you already have.
Okay.
That opens up space for more to come in.
You know, it's so easy to get caught up in comparing yourself to others, always wanting more.
It is. But there's always going to be someone who has more than you.
Yeah.
The key is to focus on what you have.
Right. Yeah.
And appreciate it.
So it's not about ignoring your financial goals, but it's about approaching them from a place of peace rather than fear.
Exactly.
Okay, I love that. Now let's talk about collaboration.
Yeah.
The book says it's key to success in this new era. It even uses a jazz band as an analogy.
I love that analogy. Think about a jazz band.
Yeah.
Each musician shines individually.
Right.
But the magic happens when they all come together, right, playing their part, listening to each other, improvising.
Yeah.
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
It's like when you're working on a project with a team and everyone's in sync and you create something amazing.
Exactly. Yep. And the same thing applies to wealth creation in the Aquarian age. Mm-hmm. That old model of competition, it's giving way to collaboration.
Right.
Think about Airbnb, Uber. They're all about shared resources.
Yeah.
It's like we're realizing we can achieve so much more when we work together.
If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yes. Perfect quote.
So who could you collaborate with? What skills could you combine?
Good question.
To create something even bigger?
Yeah.
I think that's something I need to think more about because I tend to just do my own thing.
It's a powerful shift to make.
Yeah.
When you embrace community, you create more abundance for everyone.
Okay, I love that. Before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to talk about the emotional side of money.
Sure.
Because money can bring up so much anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you're doing okay financially.
Definitely. It can trigger all sorts of things.
So how does the book address that?
Well, emotional wealth is not about ignoring those feelings. It's about learning to manage them.
Right.
You can't pretend your emotions don't exist.
Yeah, that's true.
You need to find healthy ways to cope.
Right.
And create inner peace even when things feel shaky.
Yeah.
It's like, think of a ship captain in a storm.
Okay.
You can't control the weather, but you can control how you respond to it. Stay calm, adjust course, yeah, and trust your ability to get through it.
It's about resilience.
Exactly.
Knowing you can weather any storm.
Yeah. So what are your biggest financial fears? How can you reframe those fears to feel more stable?
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah, the inner work is just as important as any financial strategy.
For me, I think a lot of my anxieties come from a fear of scarcity.
Okay.
Like this deep down belief that there's not enough to go around.
Right. A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. And I'm working on changing that belief.
Good.
And trusting more in the abundance of the universe.
It's a journey.
It is a journey.
Not a destination.
Not a destination. The more awareness you bring to those limiting beliefs, the more you can replace them with empowering thoughts. Okay, I love that. This conversation is going so much deeper than I expected.
Me too.
It's not just about money. It's about personal growth and self-discovery.
It is. It's the beauty of this Aquarian age thinking.
Yeah.
It's about redefining success for yourself.
Yes, I love that.
And creating a life that's rich in every way.
Okay, I'm really into this. So we've talked about letting go of the old ways of doing things. Mm. We've talked about embracing chaos, creating inner abundance, and upgrading our mental software. This is just the beginning, right?
There's so much more to explore.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a short break to continue our deep dive into the Aquarian age of wealth.
It really is amazing how it all connects. You know, it's not just about managing money anymore.
Yeah.
It's about energy, your mindset, even your emotions.
Yeah. Like we've been given this whole new set of tools and they go way beyond like typical financial advice.
Right. It's much deeper.
Yeah.
And the book says that this is especially important now because things are changing so fast and the old systems, they're just not working anymore.
Yeah. It feels like we have to step up, you know, and take responsibility for ourselves, for our well-being.
For sure. The Aquarian age, it's all about being more self-reliant.
Yeah.
Resourceful and really in tune with your own talents.
And like redefining success. Like what does that even mean?
Absolutely. Create a life that's authentic to you.
Oh, that reminds me of that Marianne Williamson quote. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Oh, I love that quote.
It's so good.
It really captures the essence of this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so much of what we've been talking about is about like shifting from that scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset.
Yeah.
Believing that there's enough for everyone and that we all have something to offer.
The book talks about seeing wealth as something that grows when you share it.
Right.
Not something that shrinks when other people have it.
Yeah.
Like knowledge or love. The more you give, the more you have.
Yeah, I love that. It reminds me of those people who are just so generous,
right,
with their time, their energy, their resources, and they always seem to have more than enough, not because they're hoarding it,
right,
but because they're giving it away.
It's a paradox.
It is.
That's true.
It's like creating a like virtuous cycle or something.
Exactly. The more you give, the more you receive, the more you can't give.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even just about money, right? It's about sharing your knowledge, your skills, your time, compassion, anything that can help someone else.
Totally. We all have something to offer.
Yeah.
No matter what your financial situation is.
It's like, you know, be the change you want to see in the world.
Exactly. We can all create a more abundant world, one act of kindness at a time.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed sometimes, you know, with everything going on in the world.
I know.
But this is reminding me that we can all make a difference.
You can.
Right where we are.
Absolutely. And that feeling, that empowerment is what helps you through the tough times.
Yeah, because we can't control everything.
No.
But we can control our thoughts, our actions.
The book talks a lot about resilience.
Okay.
Bouncing back from setbacks, adapting, keeping going when things are hard.
It's like building those inner muscles, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So you can handle anything.
And just like building physical strength, it takes time, effort, consistency.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process.
For sure. Mm. The book gives some good advice on how to build resilience.
Oh, like
practicing gratitude.
Okay.
Cultivating a positive mindset.
Yeah.
Building a strong support system.
Right.
And managing your energy.
And being proactive, right? Not just waiting for things to happen.
Yes. Take charge of your life, even when things are uncertain.
And part of that is taking charge of your financial security, too.
Absolutely. We can't rely on those old models anymore.
Yeah.
You have to educate yourself, make informed decisions.
The book mentions diversification, too.
Oh, yeah. That's crucial.
Not just with investment.
Right. But with your income, too.
Like having multiple streams of income.
Exactly. So you're not dependent on just one job.
Especially now with so much job insecurity and the gig economy booming.
It's about having options.
Right. Having a safety net and being able to adapt.
And the book also talks about tapping into your creativity, finding ways to make money from your passions.
Oh, I like that.
There's this whole creative economy out there.
Yeah.
People using Etsy, YouTube, Patreon to build businesses.
So many people are finding success doing what they love.
Exactly. Wealth creation doesn't have to be confined to the corporate world anymore.
This is starting to feel less like a financial planning session and more like a pep talk for my soul.
I love that.
It's about remembering who you are, what you love, and how you can use your gifts to make a difference.
And that brings us to the idea of aligning your wealth with your purpose.
Okay.
It's not just about making money. It's about making money in a way that feels good, you know, contributes to something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, like having a compass that guides your financial decisions.
Exactly. The book talks about it like being at a crossroads, you know. Every financial decision is a choice.
Right.
Do you take the path that leads to quick profits, even if it compromises your values?
Oh, wow.
Or do you choose the path that's aligned with your purpose, even if it takes longer?
So it's about asking yourself, what impact do I want to have?
Right. How can I use what I have to make a positive difference?
And realizing that your wealth, it doesn't just belong to you.
Right.
It's a resource you can use to support things you care about.
Absolutely. Invest in businesses that are doing good.
Yeah.
Leave a legacy of positive change.
It's about seeing wealth as a tool for good, not just for personal gain.
The book talks about this movement of conscious capitalism.
Yeah.
Where businesses are prioritizing social and environmental responsibility.
Yeah, it's exciting to see that happening.
It is. It's a sign that things are shifting.
People are realizing that we can't just focus on profits. We have to consider the impact we're having.
And that includes the impact on future generations. The book talks about generational wealth, too.
Oh, yeah, not just inheritance.
No, but values, knowledge, opportunity.
It's about creating a legacy that goes beyond your own lifetime.
Planting seeds for a brighter future.
Yeah, like planting a tree.
Yeah.
That will provide shade and nourishment for years to come.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. It's about realizing that true wealth isn't just what you have, but the positive impact you create.
It all comes back to generosity.
Yeah.
It's not just about giving money. It's about giving your time, energy, talent, love.
Recognizing that we all have something to offer.
And the more you give, the more you open yourself to receive not just material things, but joy, fulfillment, connection.
This conversation is blowing my mind. Wealth isn't about what you have. It's about who you are and the impact you have on the world.
And realizing that we're all in this together.
So as we wrap up this part, I'm feeling really inspired, but I also have a question. How do we actually live this way, you know, in a world that's still so focused on money and stuff?
That's a really good question. We're in a transition, right? So it's not always easy.
Yeah.
But I think the key is to focus on what you can control.
Right.
Your own thoughts, your actions, your choices.
Like creating those pockets of abundance, even amidst the chaos.
And remember, You're not alone. There are so many people out there who are embracing this new way of thinking.
So what can our listener do to start aligning with this, practically speaking?
First, become aware of your mindset. Are you coming from a place of scarcity or abundance? What do you believe about money?
And once you've identified those limiting beliefs, you can start to change them.
Yeah. The book suggests using affirmations, visualizations.
And figure out your unique talents, those ingredients you have.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to try new things.
Yeah.
See what works for you.
Collaboration is key too.
Yes. Reach out, build relationships, create something together.
And don't forget about generosity.
That's so important.
Giving your time, energy, it creates a ripple effect.
It does. And remember, it's a journey. Be patient with yourself. Trust the process.
Oh, that's good.
Celebrate every step you take towards creating a life that feels good.
Oh, I love that. I'm so energized by this conversation.
Me too.
I can't wait to keep going in our final segment. It feels like we've uncovered this whole new way of thinking about wealth, you know?
Yeah, it's not just about the numbers in your bank account anymore.
Right. It's like we're talking about energy, consciousness, yeah. Even creativity.
And the book makes this really interesting point that all those inner resources, they're becoming just as valuable, if not more so, than money.
Especially in this new era, yeah.
It all comes back to that idea that real abundance comes from within, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Cultivating gratitude, trusting the flow, believing in your own potential.
And being able to bounce back.
Yeah, that resilience.
When things get tough.
Yeah.
That's what combines success now.
It's not about avoiding those tough times, but like you said, navigating them.
Yeah, using those challenges to become even stronger.
You know, one thing that really resonated with me was this whole idea of ethical wealth creation.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
It's not just about making money. It's about making it in a way that feels good.
Aligned with your values.
Yeah, and contributes to something bigger.
Right. Because we're all connected and our actions have consequences. The choices you make with your money, your resources,
yeah.
They can have a huge impact.
It's like we have to ask ourselves some hard questions.
Yeah, like where did this money come from?
Yeah.
Who might be affected by how I'm using it?
Right.
Am I supporting something I actually believe in?
It's about becoming more conscious, more intentional.
Yeah, as consumers, investors, business owners, everything.
And using your wealth to create real positive change, not just for yourself, but for everyone.
Leaving a legacy you can be proud of.
Right. Planting that tree that'll provide shade for years to come.
And speaking of legacy, the book talks about generational wealth.
Oh, yeah. And again, it's not just about inheritance.
It's about so much more than that.
Right.
Passing down values, knowledge, opportunities that give the next generation a real chance.
It's about financial literacy, generosity, sustainability, all of that.
Showing them how to create a better world.
Because we're all part of this bigger story, this lineage that goes way beyond our own lifetimes.
And the choices we make today affect everyone who comes after us.
It's powerful. So as we wrap up our deep dive into this Aquarian age of wealth, what's one final piece of advice you would give to our listeners?
You know, I would say take one small step today. Whatever feels doable for you, it doesn't have to be huge.
Okay.
Start a gratitude practice. Maybe reach out to someone you want to collaborate with.
Yeah.
Or just take a few minutes to really visualize the future you want to create.
Small, consistent actions that lead to big changes over time.
It's a journey, not a destination. Trust your intuition and never stop believing in yourself.
I love that. Thank you so much for joining us on this incredible deep dive. We hope you're feeling inspired to create a life that's both prosperous and purposeful.
It was my pleasure.
And until next time, keep seeking, keep growing, and keep shining your light.
If you want to find the book, Get Rich the New Way, it is now available at all major internet bookstores, such as Amazon, Google Books, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and many more. You can find a link in this podcast description or just search for it. That's it for today's episode of Lucidism Unfiltered. Remember, your freedom starts with your mind. So take what you've heard and live boldly, without apology. If this sparked something in you, make sure to subscribe so you never miss a moment of the lucid conversation. And while you're at it, leave a review. Let us know how you're embracing your own path. Stay true, stay free, and we'll catch you next time.